Learn to transform your mind, nurture your spirit, and find peace by listening to audiobooks. Press play on titles like We're All Freaking Out and We Don't Need To, written and read by David Marvin, Redeeming Your Time, written and read by best-selling author Jordan Rayner, or The Good Life Method by Megan Sullivan and Paul Blaschko. Learn more about these titles and other Christian audiobooks by visiting penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Christian.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I hope that you can hear me. We're broadcasting. Today, I'm live broadcast. This is with Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is the Bread of Life. My name is Ray Rose, and I'm just happy to be with you today. It doesn't look like I'm... There we go. All right. I just want to make sure that I'm on. Amen. But I'm happy to be with you today and to be able to share a word on this second Friday of the year, amen, second Friday of the year with you. The day is, normally it's Friday Night Joy, but I have a special message because I want to talk about 2022. I call it Bread, Power, Prophetic Healing, and Grace for 2022, and my message is a storm is coming, amen, a storm is coming, amen. Before I get into all that, I want to remind you about our weekly broadcasts that are coming up. Here's the Bound in Grace. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change for Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work for Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, amen, is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday of the month. All right. Bread of Life is on Sundays at 7 p.m., and that's usually the first and the third Sunday. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Wynn Dixon. Amen. That's at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. Amen. The telephone number is 267-807-9605. The access code is 732-499. Amen. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwen is every third Monday at 7 p.m. Matters of the Heart, it's a singles broadcast, amen, is every third Friday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover. The Body of One is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And our latest broadcast is called Spiritual Nuggets of Truth. Amen. With Minister Carmen A. Booker is the second and the fourth Monday at 8 p.m. Please go and check us out on our Facebook pages and also on our website at WhenChristianSpeak.com. You can also get in contact with me at WhenChristianSpeak@gmail.com. Amen. Thank you. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, today we just want to come and say thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love that you have for us. We thank you, God, for how you have brought us a mighty long way. It was truly nobody but you, God. So we give this broadcast to you to ask you to come, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. You speak what needs to be spoken, God. You bring forth truth. You bring forth healing. Bring forth restoration. You bring forth whatever is needed. We give this broadcast to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome you to Friday. Normally, this is Friday Night Joe, but this is a special broadcast that I'm doing tonight. My name is Reverend Ray. It's called The Bread Power of Prophetic Healing and Grace for 2022. A storm is coming. When I began to get up early this morning, it was like about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had thought about this dream that I had earlier in the week. And actually, with the dream, I'm going to tell you the dream. And I sort of woke up in tears because the dreams was dead intense, okay? And let me tell you what the dream was. The dream was about, and then we're going to read a couple of scriptures, okay? The dream was about, looked like I was at this resort area, and all around me, I saw people enjoying themselves, you know, so kids are swimming, and I mean, people were having a really great and awesome time. And in the dream, what took place is that first I heard it on, I could listen to a radio or something like that, or the news, that a major storm was coming, okay? And, you know, at first I was concerned, and till I looked into the sky, and I saw the storm clouds begin to form, okay? And in my inner self, I knew that this storm was going to be huge, that it would make an impact in all the land, okay? All the land, all across the world, it would make that much of an impact all across the world and everything. And it wasn't out of fear that when I looked at, and everybody was doing their regular things, swimming, doing cooking, eating, and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't out of fear that the dream disturbed me. It disturbed me because I realized in the dream that we had to get into shelter. We had to had to go and seek shelter, and to be outside at that moment when this storm had was not a good idea, because it would be a life and death type of situation take place, because this storm was going to be violent in nature and everything, and I knew that. And as soon as all these things came to realization, I began to warn the people that I could see or hear, to warn them to seek shelter, to get inside, to go to the basement and all that kind of stuff, to seek shelter. That was the best thing. I don't know why it was a particular basement, but the basement of this, it was looked like a recreation center, was the safest place for them to go. And I noticed that not everybody was listening, okay? The people that did go was people that I knew that were listening. They went in to seek shelter and everything like that, and they were listening. And because the words I kept telling them in the dream is, all you got to do is just look up and see the storm is coming. See that a storm is going to see. In other words, there's we're going to talk about the hand writing on the wall and that kind of thing. But see, and to understand, to have wisdom of what's taking place. And as they begin to, some of those begin to get to shelter, I became even more frantic. I said, come on, let's try to rush them. Hurry, it's coming. The storm is coming. And it looked like the clouds even got darker, but not just darker, but even larger. Like I said, that it would cover all the world, all the whole land. And as people was going inside, some people went inside into the basement and everything. We closed the doors and everything, with the people that went inside with me. And I noticed when somebody was closing their door, I saw some family members and some other people bringing groceries or food into the basement to last us out for the storm. So, of course, we were going to let them in, and I sent people out to help them. And but there was one little boy, he had to be about 3 years old, for whatever the reason, after we had shut the door and we were waiting for others to bring, because we didn't want to keep the door open, all right? We was waiting for other people to come inside, but we had shut the door. He decided that he wanted to go back outside and continue to play. He was a kid. Like I said, was in a dream, he was only 3 years old, but he was very rebellious. And I said to him, no, you can't go back outside. We need you to stay inside where it's safe. And he totally did not listen to me. He began to cry, and he was able to open the door and go outside the door. And, of course, I went after him to get him to bring him back into safety. And as I went back outside, I was like in the front of the building, and I saw people sitting on the cars. I saw people on that deck, on that patio. I saw people having cookouts and you know, and just living life, you know. And I began to tell people, have you not heard that there's a storm coming? And some said, well, actually, where did I get that information? And I told them in the dream again, just look up. And for some of those that was able to look up, and they saw the storm coming, they seek shelter. They did go to their house to seek shelter, but many did not. Many did not. They did not go in there. And I was amazed because they looked up, saw the storm, and decided to ignore it or decided it wouldn't be that big of a deal and stuff like that. Whatever the reason was, they didn't go in. So some of them continued to sit on their cars. Some did hear what I have to say, but a lot of them did not. So I went on about my business looking for the little boy, and at that time looked like his brother showed up, and I told his brother, I said, can you help me find your young brother so we can bring him all everybody into the house and everything, because they're constantly bringing in food and everything. And I said to them, I said, okay, well, let's just go ahead and bring in get your brother. I became frantic. And the older brother seemed like he wasn't listening to me and everything. Because every time I would see the young boy, he would run and everything. And I was like, it's like he wanted to play and everything. So I in the dream, I yelled at the older brother. And I said to the older brother, do you hear what I'm saying? A storm is coming. You need to go and get your brother and bring him inside the house or inside the basement for safety. The young boy ignored me again. But this time I grabbed him and I spoke directly to him and wouldn't let go until he responded. And his response to me, well, you can get a lot out of me by not yelling at me. And I looked at him very strangely and I said to him, I am trying to save your life and save your brother's life from this storm that is coming to do for you to get to safety. And you're yelling and you have not answered. So the only choice I have is to get your attention to yell at you and stuff like that. And he just looked at me and then I guess he went to look for his brother. And it's at that point in the dream, I began to come out of the dream. But in the meantime, I saw this huge storm approaching, and I was able to get back into the house. I wasn't sure about whether the brother and the young boy made it, the older brother and the younger brother made it back into the house again or not. But I was just disappointed in the attitude of those that ignored us, but in those that heard me, but chose to ignore the words that was coming out of that a storm is coming. And was nonchalant about it or like was upset because I stopped them to tell them and everything. So that was the basic and the gist of the dream. All right. And I feel like that a storm is coming. Now, let me say a couple of things to you. I know that here in the Northeast, there are a major storm that's coming, and they have basically begin to do what they call setting down certain things and all that kind of stuff, a snowstorm. I'm not talking about that, okay? I don't know. The storm that I'm talking about is spiritually in nature and everything like that. And for the last 3 years there, since 2020, from 2021-22. We have been going through much of this virus or thing that a lot of countries are facing all across the world and everything. But I feel like that the dream is saying that there is more coming. It's not over. So there's a storm that we're already in, but there seems to be a storm that is brewing on the outside. And if you follow the government, the U.S. government, and some of the other different countries, there has been a strain on not only on the economy, but a strain on getting goods into different countries, whether they be food, whether it be gasoline, whatever the case might be. The prices seem to be going up. So I don't know what the storm is, financial, or what it may be, or maybe another form of the virus or whatever. But I truly believe that the storm that we're going through, this season or this period of time that we're going through, is not over. Okay? Now, a lot of people are saying that these are end times and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about all of that. I don't confess to know about that. I just know what I see with my eyes and what I hear with my ears, and I watch and I pray. And this is a season that we need to be in, a season of watching and praying at the same time, you know, because the enemy, our adversary, is definitely going about like a raging lion, you know, and trying to seek whom he can devour or whom he can catch off guard. So we're living in that type of season, and we need to stop whatever we're doing and take notice, because truly there is a hand that is right there on the wall and stuff, that God is warning us of things that are coming. And people want to believe that things are going to get better, but I don't see that. I don't think see that, because we live in a time that men have, the scripture talks about, that men will become more lovers of themselves. That's taking place now. You know, it's all about what's in it for me. There's a selflessness instead of selfless spirit that is going out throughout the world. It's what's about for me, or what's for my country, or you deal with your issues and I'll deal with mine. There is no togetherness. There is no, I mean, even within the Christian nation, and so there's division on, even on who our elected officials are, or there's division on whether you should take the vaccine or shouldn't take the vaccine, or whether the government, I mean, just so many conspiracy theories going all out there. You know, and some are so far-fetched that they're borderline crazy, and some are not so far-fetched because it seems may not be likely, but it could be a possibility. And I believe that God is calling us back into Himself. You know, I believe that God is wanting us to come back into His place. Okay, come back into His place. I want to read a couple of scriptures for you. We're going to talk about a little bit more. We're not going to spend a lot of time with you today, but we just want to talk a little bit. And the first scripture I want to read is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2-4. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy, and this is what I'm telling to those that are ministers out there. It says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they should turn away their ears from the truth and see returning to the fables. And that's also one of the things that are going on right now. There's and people have begin to have itching ears. They want to hear good tidings, and they want to hear blessings, and they want to hear healing and stuff like that, but they don't want to hear true prophetic messages that are bringing forth warnings and stuff like that. They don't want to hear that you're going to be in this thing for another 3 or 4 years, or this is going to last, or they want to hear that things are going to go back to normal. And I want to be one of the first to say, anyway, that things would never, I think I told someone that, things would never go back to the way they used to be. Things has changed. This epidemic, this virus has changed the way that we look at things. And then the thing is, again, we as believers should not operate in fear. I had to tell someone that earlier this week, that we should not be operating in fear, because we know in whom it is that we serve. We should be operating in faith. You know, we should be operating and knowing that God is the healer and he is the deliverer. We, even our prayers should be operating like that, not in fear, not afraid of going out and doing things and stuff like that. But with that comes the wisdom and everything that God has given us. You know, with that comes the wisdom and knowledge of being able to operate the way that God has given us to do. So we are doing that. Amen. That's what we should be doing. Amen. Let me just catch up a couple of things here. Amen. So these things are important. I know this is not like I said, normally on Friday night draws, we try to do messages that are uplifting and everything back, but like that. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I've been out of the weather for almost more since, I believe, probably the beginning of the year, man. And it's just been one thing and another and everything that's been going on. But I trust that God, I'm doing much better today. I was determined that I was going to do a broadcast. This is my first live broadcast of 2022. Amen. And so I was determined that that was going to take place. Okay. All right. Now, one of the things I want to also say that I want to encourage you for those that are going through some storms right now as we speak. Don't be afraid, and just go through the storm. In fact, let me read the scripture right here. This is coming out of Luke chapter 8, verses 23 and 25. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples," talking about Jesus, "and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obeyed him. He commanded the winds and the water, and they obeyed him." The thing, first thing that pops out in this particular chapter of Luke, chapter 8, is that Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He had always promised us to be able to go through the other side. And that's true in life, that there is a promise that there are rest that remain for them that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay, then we're going to get to the other side. But because he said that we're going to get to the other side, does not mean that we won't have to go through storms. But even in the midst of the storms of life that we face and everything, we have to have faith. Faith will be the essence of and the thing that would get us through our storms. Not what we see, not what we heard. Because right now, as you and I both know, we're hearing all kinds of stuff. All across, how they, again, to go back to the conspiracies, or this medicine has side effect, or the virus. People are dying left and right. They have taken the vaccine and everything. And people are still getting vaccinated and still get the virus. And all kinds of different things, everything. It's a storm within itself. This whole message of the virus is a storm within itself and everything. But Jesus is telling them that they're talking about faith, man. That even in the matter of whether you get vaccinated or not, this still comes down to a matter of faith. It comes down to a matter of faith. Who it is that you believe in and everything. And I'm going to get into the conversation about, well, they just made this up and the doctors and this all. The virus. Listen, man can't create anything unless God allow it, okay? And everything. And healing comes in more than one way. We should never put God in a box and say, he's going to heal this way. Listen, I want to have all doors open for healing for God to do it. All the glory still belongs to him and everything. That's just my opinion, okay? So whether you take it or don't, that's a personal choice. Unfortunately, we live in a time that your personal choice affects many others, people. It's not just they're saying that I am my brother's keeper coming to foreplay, you know, but it's still a choice, you know, and everything. And in some countries, if I'm not mistaken, they have taken that choice away from the people, okay? And they are forcing them to do things that normally people wouldn't do. But here in America, we still have a choice. Amen. So we still have a choice. Amen. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the warning signs that we've been talking about, the dream and everything. And the warning signs we're going to talk about is coming out of Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Okay, let's just read a little. In fact, let me just do a brief overtake of it. Amen. And basically what was going on, that King Nebuchadnezzar had already died, and his son Belshazzar had taken place. It was the king now, and this young king decided to have a big old party and everything. And he took the things that was in Jerusalem, that was in the temple, right? And he gave it to the golden vessels that was taken out of the house of God at Jerusalem, and they gave it to the kings and princes, and they drank wine from those things, okay? They drank wine from those things, and they praised their gods, okay? Drinking wine. They didn't give honor to God and nothing like that, but they praised their God, all right? And like I said, Daniel chapter 5, I'm going to read about verse 5. It says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the canister upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts were troubled, so that the joints of his loins was loose, and his knees were smote one again with fear. In other words, he became sorely afraid for what he saw, because it was the hand writing on the wall and everything. And he went to his astronomers and astrologers and went to different people to try to get them to interpret it, what the hand was writing, and no one could do it. But then the scripture said that his wife remembered about Daniel and called for Daniel and asked Daniel to decipher what this means and everything, because the king didn't have any idea. And we picked up in chapter 5, verses 18. It says, that Daniel told the king, said, oh, that king, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar. He means to tell the new king, the son, about what God had did for the father, and how God had put majesty and glory and honor upon the father and everything like that. And all the nations and their languages was trembled and feared before the father. But he also went on to tell the story about how when Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his heart and was hardened in pride, he was disposed from the kingdom throne, and they took his glory from him. And the scripture goes on to say that he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was like the wild asses, and he began to feed and eat of the grass like the oxen, and his body was wet with dew in heaven. And that he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of man, and that appointed time was over, and when he came back to his senses, he humbled himself and recognized who God is. But then Daniel began to tell him, but King, you didn't do that. But you have lifted, he said, 23 says, but thou hast lifted thyself against the Lord of heaven, and thou have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou have praised the gods of silver, the god of brass, of iron and wood and stone, which see not, hear not, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, all thy ways hast thou not glorified. In other words, he didn't glorify God. He glorified all the other stuff, things that he have, his riches in it that he have. And this is, look, if you watch and you see, these things are taking place now, y'all. These things are taking, the people have become more lover of things and gold and money, and everybody's trying to get an angle, and everybody's trying to get a head, and when people want to be rich, and they're probably more millionaires and billionaires than ever in the history of the world. You know, their countries are full with gold and full with money, but yet still they got people that are starving, and they got people that can't afford health, health and can't afford education and people living on streets and people on drugs and all that kind of stuff all across the world. If the world, with all the money and all, there should be no hungry person within the world. The wealth and everything like that. But even with all of that, they're gaining wealth and gaining riches and all that kind of stuff. You know, the glory that should be given to God has not been taking place. Okay? That we have become to a place where we begin to worship other things other than worship God. We speak that we worship God, but we deny the power thereof. We act like we worship God, but we deny his power at the same time. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but those things should never be our God, okay? Things and riches and houses and cars should never be our God. Those things are good to have, but they should never be our God. Everything that we have and everything that we do belong to him in a way. The scripture said that the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. The earth is his and everything that dwells in it. So it all belongs to him. So we need to be able to give him credit and give him his due. Now, let me continue to read on here. Again, this is chapter 24 of the book of chapter 5, verse 24 of Daniel, and I want to read that. The 24 says, then was the part of the hand set from him, and the writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, many, many, Tekel, Upperson, Upperson, Upperson. This is the interpretation of the thing, many, mene, which means God had numbered that kingdom and finished it. 27 says, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and I found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given into the Medes and the Persians. And the scripture goes on to say that this took place immediately because he decided not to honor God. He decided to honor everything else. And if we look around us and stuff like that, in the world that we live in now, that people, America or whatever, are going in the opposite direction of what they was created. And everything. They're so focused on the color of somebody else's skin and everything, and not about, hey, look, we are all in relationship with God. Christians, man, churches are divided on the political basis and stuff like that. You know, they're divided on water baptism or baptizing the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and baptizing Jesus' name. They're divided and everything. And that division has started very, like a crack or miniature crack, but now has increased to the point that there's hate involved. You know, there's wanting to separate each other from because of the color of their skin is involved there. There's willing to call each other names and all that kind of stuff. A storm is coming, and God is warning those of the storm, okay? It's taking place, in especially here in America. There's a greater divide. There has always been racism and all these different things are taking place. But it seemed like to me, in my own opinion, that it has intensified. It's gotten worse than it's ever been before. It seems like the country has gotten more for the rich than it has for the poor. You know, anytime that you're not willing to pass legislation for voting rights or pass legislation so that people that can't do will have the ability to do for themselves, you know, and help someone out and stuff. And people are going hungry now. People, are afraid now. The question becomes, where is the church in all of this? You know, a storm is coming. A storm is here, actually, and stuff like that. You know, so what's basically going on in the scripture that talks about this is that, and coming from Leviticus chapter 18, verses 27 and 30, and it says, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which are before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you all out also when you defile it. In other words, God said, look, don't let the land spit you out. The land spit out their inhabitants for the stuff that it was doing in the land. And if you look around the world and stuff like that, creation has begun to groan and everything like that because of the amount of sin and things that's taken place. You know, we were given lordship over the things of the earth. you know, and yet the earth is being destroyed. Yeah, and I'm not talking political. Again, I'm talking spiritual, because this is a spiritual warfare that we're in and everything. Greed has become more of a factor. Well, how much can I get out of this, the earth and stuff like that, even though it may be cost damage in 10 years. Greed has become, oh, well, we're going to invent new technology and everything like that, but the technology won't be affected until another 20 years. So we're going to get as much as we can out of there for our investors and everything. All these things are taking place. And again, I'm not against investing and anything like that, but anything that destroys the earth is contrary to the will of God. Anything that destroys the earth is contrary to the will of God, and it causes the earth to groan and mourn until the end of to Christ's return and stuff, because it was never meant to be so. We are caretakers of the things of this earth, man. We are caretakers of this earth. We are caretakers of the treasures that God has given us and everything, and we're responsible for it, and it's on our hands. So in the scriptures, they talk about how the land was so defiled that the land began to spit out its inhabitants and everything like that, okay? It began to spit out the inhabitants. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22, he said, "You should therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land which I bring you to dwell therein spit you not out." In other words, don't spit you out, you know? And it'll spit you, the Jews got in, Israelites got in trouble because they began to do the things that the previous owners of the land did. They began to take on different gods. They began to forget about the God they served. So the lands had to spit them out. You know, God had to bring chastisement upon them to bring them forth in right relationship with him. And that may be the case that's going on here, that God is bringing forth chastisement to many of those that will listen. But a lot of us are stubborn in our own ways, just like in the dream. They would not listen. They would not listen. They would have itching ears and everything like that. And they'd rather believe a lie than believe the truth. They would not listen to those that are sounding the alarm, and those that are blowing the shofar horn and warning, and those that are being prophetic in nature. Listen, prophetic does not only mean it talks about, it only deals with just the good things, but it deals with those warnings that come forth too, you know. But even in the midst of that, grace is giving us a way out, and that way out is to repent and to become be a part of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's our way out. Our way out, y'all, is the love of Almighty God. Our way out is to seek him and let him fulfill the desires of our heart. Our way out is to trust him and believe him and to hold on to him until he blesses us. That's our way out. Our way out is to return back into our first love, to our first love. Now, as a preacher, as a pastors and as teachers, we have an obligation to warn you of these things. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1-7, this is what it says. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of that people, and say unto them, when I bring this sword upon the land, and if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him before their watchmen, if when he see the sword coming for the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever they hear the sound of the trumpet and take it not warning, if that sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." So we have an obligation to warn you, to show you, to let you see the mysteries and the things that are going on in the spiritual realm that you need to be aware of, so that we don't want the blood, your blood on our hands, you know. We don't want your blood to be on our hands. We don't want God to hold us accountable because we didn't warn you of those things that was coming, of things that you were doing that was not righteous before him and everything. We didn't warn you. We sugarcoated it. We decided not to say anything about it. Then God says, speak. Now, in some cases, God don't want us to speak as innocent, something we just pray about, you know. Sometimes, even if you speak, people won't listen. I've had people that I said something to, and they didn't listen. And what I said to them came to pass, and they wasn't ready. They didn't listen. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe that it came from God and everything like that. So they didn't accept it and everything. Okay? They didn't accept it. So my hands was clean because I did what God has told me to do. And as preachers, we have to be very aware of that, that we do sound it out, that we do, that we are teaching sound doctrine and everything like that, and that we are seeking sound doctrine. Then he said, verse 4, then whoso hear the sound of the trumpet taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood should be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood should be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall be deliver his soul. But if the watcher, hear this right here, see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood shall require at the watchman's hand. We have an obligation as leaders and preachers and teachers, as prophets, as evangelists, as apostles, to warn. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Okay? Warn them from me. In other words, to the preachers and the pastors and those that's in leadership, it says, it comes out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. It says, thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak to them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, said the Lord, to deliver thee. We have an obligation to do the very thing that God has called us to do, to be obedient to the calling. That didn't change because it's the Old Testament. We still have to be obedient. It's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. We still have to be obedient to the thing that God has called us to do. Amen. I'm almost done. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 5, said, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourself and let us go into the defense city. This is a season and a time that we need to be going into the defense city. The defense city don't necessarily have to be a city, but the defense city is the relationship with that we have in Christ. For that storm that they come in, for that basement experience where we gather food and our family, it's a relationship within Christ. People of like mind have that relationship with Christ. You know, it could be actual building and stuff like that, but it don't have to be. But it's more your relationship with Christ, you know, that when I sit down and I eat dinner and I'm listening, I'm reading the gospel, and I'm hearing the word of God, that I'm getting a word from him, our relationship with Christ. This is not my opinion. This is what the Lord is saying to us at this time. What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ, your Lord? In Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 12, I'm not going to read all of it, but it says that, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth, for thou hast made us of a city and heap, and of a defense city a ruin, and a palace of strangers to be no city, and it should never be built. You know, therefore, said the strong people, glorify thee in the city of the troubled nations, shall fear thee. Because God is the one that is the defense. His obligation with him is our defense. No matter what this virus does, no matter how sick it is, it's our defense. But listen, in our case as believers, we have a win-win situation. Of course, we want to continue to be alive and be here with our family. But even if God calls us home, it's a win-win because then we get to see Jesus again. We get to be with God. We get to live in glory and everything and all of that. So it's a win-win for us. That's why that we as believers should have no fear. You know, we don't fear what the enemy is doing. We don't fear that there's a demonic presence that's taking place throughout the land and stuff like that, that this virus is. We don't fear those things. We don't fear how much the enemy is raging or whatever. You know, we don't fear them because we believe and we trust God, that he is well capable or well able to rescue us or to provide for us and everything, to answer our prayers, to get us out of jail or whatever the case might be, that he's well able to do those things. The scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, it says, for as by one man's obedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, y'all. So obedience of one, who's the one? Jesus Christ. More of the law entered that the offense might abound. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So as sin people increases and men become more lovers of themselves and they turn more to the wickeder, grace abound even more. So why? Because God has given people opportunity to those he called and chosen for this time to repent. He's given grace abound even more so. Thank God for grace abounding, because most of us should have been taken out a long time ago, but God knew that God give them a little more time. That, you know, if Jesus was praying, give them a little more time, they would come to the knowledge of the truth. And truly, that happened. I know that happened for me. I don't know about for nobody else. Grace abound. I should have been gone many problems 1,000 times over. This is a period of grace that has been expounded just for us because of the increase of sin. You know, we see the outcome of sin taking place in all the land. We see it. We see murderers and people being murdered and kids have been killed and babies killing babies. We see the outcome of sin taking place already in everything. But grace, man, has even been about even more so to give us the opportunity to get our relationship right with God, to give us the opportunity to be a testimony to others. Grace, a storm is coming. A storm is here, wherever you are in your life and stuff. This is the time to go into the defense city that God has today, not you built. You didn't build this defense city. God has provided this defense city. God has provided a place, a way out. You know, God has provided. There's always a way out, and it's always going to be through Jesus Christ. It's always going to be through Jesus Christ. I'm done. I don't want to really go because we're running out of time. Amen. I want to read. I think I read that. Okay. Amen. I think I'm done, y'all. The government want to read one more scripture. I'm not too sure I have all the time to get into this. But this is coming out of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 39. And it says there, therefore, is no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walked out after the flesh, but after the spirit. Listen, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. You know, we need to be making sure that our relationship is sure in Christ, you know, that don't walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. This is a spirit thing that's going on within us, okay? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin and flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled to in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Amen? After the spirit. So everything that we look at, everything that we do, man, we got to look at it from a spirit. Everything that we're facing, everything that we're going through, we have to be looking at it from a spiritual point of view. We have to become more celestial and less terrestrial, you know? We have to do that, man, you know, and we have to do that, you know, and this is what I'm talking about, the scriptures we talk about, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which has the fresh fruit of the spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to come back with anticipation. Revelation says, the book of Revelation said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting, you know. When, Lord, would you come? We're waiting patiently, knowing that he is coming, that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. We know these things already. We know these things already. I'm done. I'm not going to, I got a lot more, but I'm going to end it there. Amen. Because I wanted to make sure that I get this out there for 2022. We don't know what we're going to face. Most of us don't even know we'll be alive. This may be the year that God calls us home or whatever. We don't know. But we know in whom we believe, and we know he is well able to keep those things that we have committed to him in his hands. We know that for a fact, that even in the midst of all the chaos and the craziness that is going on throughout the world, that we should get to a place of trust and believing in God, that we would not let him go until we believe. We're going to hold on to the horn of salvation until he blesses us. until he changes us, until he molds us into what that which he has called and ordained us to be. We know these things already, and we do them happily. We do them happily. Now, if you have never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is an opportunity for you to know him, to receive him. All it takes, y'all, listen, it's really simple. It's not a lot of drawing out there, but confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. The scripture said the same shall be saved. And after you have been saved, or after you have been converted and everything, of course we're going to convert your brother, but after you've been converted, then there's the prayer and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That you should ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And then when you do all of those things, then you find a Bible-believing, a Holy Ghost teaching, discipleship church that would love on you like Christ loved on you, that would teach you the ways of Christ, that would show you a more excellent way. Those things are important. And then you can say to yourself, happy birthday. But it starts within yourself. Nobody can see your heart except for God. He knows what the heart is made of. There's no good deeds in the heart. But he knows when it's contrite. And when he knows when the spirit is broken, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, that he would not. So he knows those things. So what am I saying to you today? Yes, a storm is coming. But we have, under grace, we have an opportunity right now to get it right with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Yes, we may have messed up. Yes, we have made bad decisions in life. 2021, we saw all kinds of things take place, things we thought we'd never ever believe we'll see in our lifetime. We're living in those days, okay? That I remember telling somebody earlier that everybody seem to be doing what's right in their own sight. Everybody have their own righteousness of what's righteous and everything like that. And they go on with it. And they're strong about it. It's their own opinion and everything, you know. Their own opinion, you know. I don't want that for myself. You shouldn't want that for yourself either. But you should want the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You want his righteousness, you know, because his righteousness is what's going to get us to heaven. It's nothing that we do that is righteous. It's nothing that we do that we judge other people, you know, but we got stuff in our own closet. No, give me the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Let me live my life like that. Let me just yield to him and his ways and his understanding. Let me give my life over to him, you know. Let me have a closer walk with you, Jesus, you know. This is the solution for whatever's coming down the pipe. Whatever's happened in your family, whatever death is knocking on the door, this is a solution. You got people all across the world that's in hospital, and the doctors have given up on them for various reasons, not just because of the virus, but for other reasons too. But who it is that we said that we believe? We believe in the Lord our God, you know? We believe in the Lord our God. I'm almost done. When David was in a place where he was distraught because he had lost his family, and the men, the soldiers and his brothers wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him, you know. But David made up his mind. He said, I'm going to seek the Lord, his God. He sought after the things of God. He asked, God, what should I do? Where should I go? Should I go up against them? We should be in that place now on a daily basis, y'all, even more so than ever before. God, what should I do about this? God, show me what I should do. Tell me what I should to say. How can I help my brothers and my sisters, oh Lord? Provide me the ways and the means so that people that are going through those storms and everything like that don't know that they're not alone, that Jesus is in the boat with them. You know, just don't get out of the boat. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, Father, thank you for this broadcast. I pray that it has been a blessing to the people. I pray, God, that you will answer their private prayers, that they don't want to know about us except for them and you, God. You know everything there is about them. Father, bless those again, God. Heal, deliver, bring forth your power, your prophetic healing, Lord, whatever. And then allow us to eat from the manna of heaven, which is your word, Lord Jesus, your everlasting word, Lord Jesus. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you.
Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister. I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling fit-tacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th. See Club for details. Now extended through January 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness for zero enrollment and only $10 a month. With tons of equipment and free fitness training, it's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Even me, mister. I'm so stressed I grind my teeth more than most people grind coffee.
Especially you. Give your anxiety-clenched jaw a rest.
My molars will be so happy.
Start feeling fit-tacular today. Join InClub or at planetfitness.com. Zero enrollment, $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 14th. See Club for details.